Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports, it's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies, just chilling on the junkies, yeah. It's bit season, what a time to be alive, bit season, couple of regular guys, it's bit season, go have yourself a laugh, it's bit season, ha 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 ha.
Welcome to Bit Season, everybody. Episode 175, a big one. I'm Drab T-Shirt.
I'm Matt Valdez.
And we have a very special guest with us in studio today. Valdez, on this show, we're able to do some segments that we probably usually can't do or wouldn't be able to do on The Junkies.
Yeah.
And one of those things is to have some of our friends of the show come in and hang out with us. And today
I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah. My main guy, my new best friend, Dr. Doug Burka from the Maine Center for Advanced Hair Restoration in Chevy Chase. Dr. Burka, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here.
Yeah, this is a long time coming.
Yeah, I got a lot of questions for you, Doc.
A lot of people have a lot of questions.
I'm ready.
And we got a regular show. We got some stuff that we want to talk about here after Dr. Burka heads down the hall and talks to Sam probably for a little bit, because there was a lot of stuff happening on the show this week with Eric's brain falling out of his head, basically.
Yeah, do you do brain restoration?
Because I know a guy.
Well, welcome. First of all, I'm glad to meet you. You might be besides Drab's wife and kids, you might be in the top five of most important people in his life right now.
He's definitely up there.
That is a lot of pressure.
I need him more than some other people in my life.
How has Drab been as a patient? Is he texting you questions nonstop? Is he kind of badgering you about like the next level of his hair restoration? How has he been as a patient?
No, that's his first question, of course. How much of a nuisance am I?
No, here's the truth. Drabs has been probably one of our best patients ever, and I'm not being hyperbolic when I say that. He follows our directions. He, you know, other than forgetting to pick up his meds the night before surgery and texting me at 10 p.m.
That was an absolute disaster.
To scramble. he's done everything exactly as we have. And I was just telling you, Valdez, seeing his progress on sort of a day-to-day basis and hearing the updates on the radio has been fun for us, because we don't get all of that, right? We get the, I see patients at 3 months, 6 months, 1 year. Right. I don't get the, hey, I just went to the grocery store for the first time without a hat on and hearing about that experience. And that's really fun.
Yeah, that's it's a big moment for Drab, is that he's out in the wild with his new hairlings showing.
My mom called me last night about my hair because she saw the video that we posted this week of EB asking me. Uh-huh. My mom never, ever, ever asked me about anything on the show.
Yeah.
She lives in Spokane. She probably follows the Junkies pages. Never once, at least in the last 5 years, asked me about a segment I did on the show.
Mom's excited about your hair.
Yes.
We have them trained well, but that's great. Was it complimentary?
She said, she goes, I know you so well and that I can tell when you're generally moved and excited about something. And she goes, I can see it in your eyes about what this has done for you.
Yes. I would totally agree. I feel like Drab has a new swagger about him. I can tell he's excited about it. I can tell he's serious about it because it's like if you have knee surgery almost. Like, you can't all of a sudden start running and training a month after your surgery. You have to ease into it. You got to do all the rehab. You got to take the anti-inflammatories. You have to be very regimented in your recovery back. Drab's doing the same thing with his hair. I feel like he's following your instructions to a T, and that's how I know he's serious about it, because Drab may cut a corner every now and then, but he's following this rigorous schedule of creams that he needs to do, pills he needs to take. Mm-hmm. He can't wear his hat for 48 hours. So, you know, he's damn not going to short it out by 47 hours.
Yeah. I mean, no, I didn't wear a hat for like 5 days. Even now, I'm still like, do I really need to wear this hat right now? The less I wear it, the better, I'm sure, right? Unless I'm out in the sun.
It doesn't really matter. You can wear your hat when you want to wear your hat. You can, yeah, it just in the sun. That's the only time. We don't want you burning your head.
What's Drab's next step right now? Because obviously he's riding high. Are we just kind of waiting for the implants to fall out?
How many days out are we? 20 days? It was May 22nd. It's June, 11th today?
Yeah. Tomorrow will be 3 weeks exactly.
Yeah, so tomorrow is 3 weeks. I would say without the first 48 hours are most crucial, right?
Yeah.
That's when you're sleeping upright.
That was kind of weird.
And you just
that's
like,
why he's my work wife.
You can't bump your head. You can't. It is so hard. By the way, not having something touch your head for 48 hours is nearly impossible. It's like you don't realize how often something touches your head.
Huh.
From you just rubbing your hand on it to, I don't know.
Maybe a scratching your head thinking or something.
And not even that. It's like
or an itch.
Gently touch the wall or anything. Like it's so hard not to, bending over in the pantry. Like your head bumps something 15 times a day.
Yeah,
you just don't realize it.
So that's the biggest thing we'll see post-op is people hitting their head because, yeah, you do hit your head on things and you don't even realize it, right?
Yeah.
We'll get patients come in, we do their transplant, they go to their car, they scrape their head on the door frame of their car, they come right back upstairs because they knocked out 200 grafts and we got to replace them.
After my procedure, I look like a 99-year-old guy getting into a car. I was so scared of anything touching my head in that car.
But this is why we love Drab, because he does act like a 99-year-old man getting into the car, following our instructions to a T.
Yeah.
You know what I think I was best at during this whole while I were tuning my own horn?
Hey, his lunch order?
Hey, Dr. Bergen has a video of me, and they posted it, and I think it was on my social as well. I'll see if I can find it. Like, moments before the procedure, I wasn't nervous at all. I was cool as a cucumber, Valdez. And I get, nervous about things in my life, anxious. Everyone does. I was so locked in and ready for this. People were like, he tells me that people don't sleep the night before a lot of times. There's so much anxiety. I was just ready for it.
I have a theory on that. My guess is Drab is so excited for the procedure. It's something that he's been wanting his entire life that like he almost doesn't think it's real.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Almost like an out-of-body experience for him.
I think so. And hearing your story of, you've been for consults 5 times and it always falls apart. But hair is different than any other cosmetic surgery, right? I mean, it's like, a woman has their boobs done, right?
Yeah.
They're changing something about them that they were born with, right? So, you weren't born with you know, without hair. Well, you were, but, you know, from the age were 2 years old, you had a full head of hair and you lose it.
It's taken from you.
It's taken from you. So it's different than any other cosmetic surgery.
100%. And one of the things we first talked about, Dr. Burka, after this procedure was that, you know, some people don't get it. And the people who don't get it obviously are not losing their hair. First off, I already know that if you're chirping at me on Twitter or Instagram, I already know, and I can't see your profile, that you have a full head of hair. Because if you were balding, you wouldn't feel this way. But say the couple guys like I saw were calling me vain, right? I don't feel like I'm a very vain person. But you are right, because it was something that was taken from me. If I was born, you know, like I got big ears. To me, like getting my, like pinning my ears back or something or shrinking them, whatever people would do, it's not something I would consider because that's the way I was born. It's part of who I am.
Right. If you're born ugly, you're just ugly.
You're just born ugly.
You know, great saying, Doc.
Yeah. But if I got my front tooth knocked out, right?
Yeah.
Anybody listening, they would get it immediately replaced. Why? Because you look ridiculous without losing something that you had at one point and you no longer have anymore. That's how I felt about losing my hair. It's the same thing as losing my front teeth.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you. Do you think, speaking of hyperbolic, do you think I was being hyperbolic when I told Drab, was it last episode or maybe two episodes ago, that I told him I was very proud of him? And
it actually makes me a little uncomfortable that you tell me that.
No, because like he said, he had something taken from him, and he kind of grabbed the bull by the horns, and he wouldn't take no for an answer, and he elected to do this procedure, and just kind of change his life. Am I being hyperbolic when I say that?
No, I think if you feel that you're proud of him, then you're proud of him. I mean, I get it. I mean, hair can change your life, and it takes a lot to get to the point that you say, all right, I'm ready to do this. But, you know, I also, from the other side, I tell patients all the time, look, if you want to shave your head, shave your head. You know, if you're happy with a shaved head, if you look good with a bald head, look, I was just talking to Cakes out in the hallway. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I actually think Cakes is, you know, the wheels are starting to turn in his head. He's seeing you.
We've planted a seed.
And I see guys, you know, from the time you hear that hair transplant is a thing that you can do till the time a patient actually pulls the trigger with us, mm-hmm. the runway is usually about 2 years. So, you know, it takes some time to think about it, think that you want to do it. But I also tell patients all the time, look, if you can shave your head and be happy with that, then by all means, shave your head. That's easier than going through a transplant and doing all of this. But also, if you don't want to be bald, it really is a choice now.
So that's how, like, I've had a lot of people say that to me over the years, right? Just shave your head. Who cares, right?
Well, some people look bad with a shaved head.
You have to take that into consideration. Some guys look like Jason Statham with a shaved head. They just look badass. And usually they have like much smaller heads or high cheekbones where there's still definition to their, like, to their facial structure. I just look like the end of a penis when I shave my head. Like, I got a big round face.
Michael Chiklis.
Yeah. I look nubs. And I knew that I looked terrible. I just don't have the bone structure to pull it off. And I knew that. And that's one of the reasons I just hated looking at myself without hair.
Do you wish you got the procedure earlier in your life? So you started getting bald when? Your late 20s?
23. No. Early 23, 24 is when I saw it first coming out.
So by 28, it was apparent.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have a lot of people, Dr. Burka, where they are bald at 28 and maybe they're in denial and they do it later in life and they wish they had done it earlier?
Yeah. So the biggest thing, I see everything from the 21-year-old who comes into my office because they lost two hairs on the front of their head and they're losing their mind.
Okay.
I just transplanted an 85-year-old.
Wow.
So
kind of love that. It's never too late.
Never too late. It really isn't. So
he's on the crawl for some new boondang. He's a new widower.
So I see everything. The biggest thing that I would tell anybody who's listening that is on the younger end of that is the best thing we can do is help you maintain your hair. Right. So mm-hmm. if you get on medication when you're 21, 22 years old, what the medications are really good at is helping you maintain your hair. The companies would like you to believe they'll help you grow your hair back. I rarely see that. But it can. But what the medications really do is prevent you from losing more.
Right. It puts a stop to it.
Yeah.
I have a friend. His name might be Jack.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. He has a bald spot at the top of his head. And luckily, he's 6'4". So he doesn't have that many people looking mm-hmm. down on him. That's just gotten so much bigger. Do you treat that bald spot that's like at the crown the same as you would in the front of the head?
So, sort of. I mean, from a transplant perspective, if somebody wants to have a transplant, we can transplant hair anywhere. You want a unicorn coming out of your forehead of hair, we can do that. So we can move hair anywhere on the body. Having said that, crown and mid-scalp, there are more options non-surgically, right? So Drab's, our strategy has been, we transplanted the frontal third of his head. We're trying some non-surgical stuff on the crown and mid-scalp. We'll see how it goes. Six months from now, we'll decide if we need to do another transplant on the back.
Is it true that, like, the non-surgical things we're doing, right? So we've done PRP. I'm doing a laser helmet every night for a few months. I'm on medicine.
Yeah.
All those things, they probably don't help at all with your hairline. Like, once your hairline's gone, it's gone. It's not going to sprout back up near your forehead.
Very, very unlikely it's going to do anything on your hairline.
But your mid-scalp and your crown, like where Jack is, the non-surgical stuff is much more, works a lot. That's where your Rogaine works.
Right.
Right.
You know, I'll have to get a pamphlet from you for that to pass along.
To be honest, is Rogaine garbage?
It's not garbage. So my take on Rogaine is, you know, you got to use it twice a day. You're not supposed to put it on when your hair is wet. You're not supposed to wash your hair for 4 or 5 hours after you put it on. You got to use it twice a day. It's really hard to use it.
Yeah, that's a hard schedule. Yeah.
But if you stay consistent with it for 6 months, about 20%, particularly if you're on finasteride or dutasteride as well, we'll see some benefit from it.
Right.
But I have a ton of patients who do it for the 6 month period, come back and say, "Doc, you know, I noticed a difference, but not so much that I'm willing to continue to finagle my schedule to do this."
I have another question. I think I would be a great candidate for this. And Dr. Berker, you mentioned that you can basically move hair anywhere. I have the most difficult time filling in a full beard. Is there a way that we would take, I don't know what hair you would take. It might be from the back of my head or maybe a different region of my body. Do you have people that come in and try and fill in these patches around your face?
Yeah.
I look like a hillbilly when I try to grow a beard.
Yeah, all the time. Beard transplant is a big thing now. Super popular. In the African-American community, super popular.
Really?
I do a lot of African-American beard transplants.
Why is it popular with African-Americans?
I don't know.
I was just going to say,
I do feel like black guys have more beards than white guys. And they look really good with them. And so you don't want to be ostracized if you can't.
I thought it was just like they can't grow as much facial hair as.
No, I just think the numbers are more like probably more likely.
They want a beard more than someone else.
Yeah, it's just more probably in style. But I actually did. I have noticed that African American women get a lot of hair transplants.
Oh.
Yeah. Because if you wear braids a lot throughout your life, that will pull your hair out, right? Oh. Your hair will fall out.
Yeah, it's called traction alopecia. So if you're pulling it back tight, braids, dreads, even a tight ponytail pulled hard back, you start to recede in the front. It is African-American women.
So they'll come in and they'll just get their sides filled here.
It's been pulled back for years and years and years, and they got to get some treatment.
Yeah, you would think that only like guys get hair transplants, but I think women is a growing percentage of that business for sure.
We do about 20% women.
Yeah.
What about what I consider yourself a hair expert.
I hope so.
Well, I'm hoping he can answer. What makes hair go gray?
I think it's just genetics. Okay. I think genetics, it's probably a similar process to losing your hair, right? There's some genetics, there's some environmental factors. Certainly stress plays a role.
What about JP thinking that he can take, what is it? Is he spraying something on? What is he doing?
He has some rinky dink Instagram ad that he fell in. It was entrapped by that said, if you spray your hair with this, it'll make the gray go away.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's a hair dye. I mean,
no, he says it's not a dye.
Yes. It's not a dye.
Some sort of topical thing where over time your hair goes from gray and it regains its natural color.
So here's what I'll say. A couple of things. First of all, color is the easiest thing to deal with, right? Just for men, there's shampoos, there's longer term hair dyes. It's easy to take care of gray hair if you care about
it. Has that gotten better over the years? Because I remember like 20 years ago, maybe more, anytime a guy dyed his hair, I could immediately tell. And anytime Roger dyes his hair, obvious.
You had the Giuliani streak.
Yeah.
It was the same. And also, it was the same thing with hair. Anyone who was wearing a rug. Yeah. I mean, you could notice it, and they got better and then better. Then all of a sudden, surgical options are an option. Hey, I have some business advice for you, Dr. Burka.
Yeah.
Okay. don't screw up my deal here.
No, I'm not. I think what you need to do is I don't know your staff very well, but I think you should invest in like hiring playmates. Okay. All right. To be your assistants, maybe work the front desk, and then all of a sudden, when people get their hair transplants, they just shower them with praise. So that way they feel welcomed. They feel like they're hot again. I think that's a great little extra.
So
touch.
It's like
like a bunny ranch.
Yeah, yeah, like a, yeah. I was gonna say strip club. Yeah. No. Make the customer feel good.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe they sit on your lap before your consultation.
This is why he's a radio bit producer. Yeah, this is why he's not an entrepreneur.
You have them there afterwards. And they sit on the lap and say, "Oh my God, Drab, you look so good with hair." Have them there to rub.
Maybe I will say he has a very lovely staff. Yeah, so the team there is phenomenal.
Shout out to Sarah and to Val. I hope they made you feel welcome.
Yeah, and very beautiful. Beautiful ladies. They don't need bimbo playmates in
but
the Valdez.
Yeah, they're not. It's not that kind of business.
This is where his radio brain, he wants everything to turn into a porno. Unfortunately.
It's untrue. So the hair that Drab has, and every day it looks better and better and better. And I've been observing very silently across the room.
You got a better look than anybody.
I know. I was staring into that bald head for years upon years. So I'm glad he's getting it fixed. But this hair, that the seedling hair that was transplanted into Drab's head, it will fall out, correct? And then new hair grows after that?
Not necessarily. So for the average person coming, 90% chance that the hairs will fall out. For Drab's, we did a procedure called TED. TED, actually, interestingly, one of the things that we're learning about TED is that it can actually convert white hairs to dark colored hairs. Oh. But if you do
TED, I'm into TED talks.
but if you do two TEDs before your surgery, which Drab's did, and one TED after, it reduces that number to about 60% chance that the hairs shed. So there's a 40% chance that those hairs just grow.
But is that even like, to me, it wasn't a big deal. Like I'm not worried about shedding. Do you hear that a lot from customers?
That they are
worried about the shedding process.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at, because it could be kind of weird psychologically if you have all of a sudden this hair that's sprouting and it looks good. Like Drab's hair looks amazing, and I don't know if this is every single patient. But if I was balding, I saw Drab's head, I'd say I want to look into this. But you have all of these seedlings that have sprouted, then all of a sudden they fall out and go away. That can be kind of weird psychologically. You know what I mean?
So this is part of why we love Drab's, right? Because he's listened to us. I mean, you sat through my hour-long consult. You appreciated that. You took it in. You have been well aware that those hairs are going to shed. I do exactly the same consult for everybody. It's not like we treated like you were special, right? But believe it or not, you're actually not our best A-list celebrity that we've had in the office. No.
He didn't tell me any names, but there are people who do a lot more for, I don't know, public service, I guess you could say, that have been in his office.
Yeah, we've had some politicians.
Maybe make a lot more money on a field than I do.
We did a couple commanders. Yeah. So honestly.
Believe me, I'm dying to know, but he won't tell me who it is.
Some of them are painful when they come in, right? They don't want to sit in our waiting room. They want to go immediately into a room so nobody sees them. You know, Drab's walked in there and was like, "Hey, I'm here. I'm Drab's. Let's do this."
Yeah.
But he also paid attention to the consult, to the instructions, to the timeline. I really try and drill in the hairs are going to fall out so that people don't panic when it happens. But the ones that seem to have the biggest problem are the ones where it grows, and then all of a sudden at 3 months, it all falls out. And they're calling us in a panic. What happened? Everything was going great.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying it's totally fine. It's still going to grow. It doesn't matter what happens in the first 3 months.
So what percentage of guys want to hide the fact that they've had a transplant? Or like that's why they're so worried that it's going to fall out, because people are going to know they had a transplant. Maybe they went away on vacation right afterwards. To try to hide it a little bit. Like, is that people's main concern?
It is. Probably. Yeah. I mean, I would say 80-90% don't want anybody to know. It's the rare 10-20% that they come in and go, I don't care if people know
why,
about a transplant.
Why don't they want them to know? It's
the stereotype of...
You're embarrassed of how you look?
That you have to, as a man, has to accept the way he looks and that he can't do anything about it. Or that's either vain or feminine or something along those lines, where you shouldn't want to look good necessarily. At least that's how I feel about it.
It is becoming more mainstream. I mean, you know, we used to never, I mean, 15 years ago, I used to never get referrals from other patients, right? Patient comes in, has a great outcome, tells all those friends.
Yeah.
Now it happens all the time.
Right.
Whereas, you know, and now it's actually easier to hide it, right? I mean, mm-hmm. 30 years ago when it was hair plugs, right?
Yeah.
You know, it was pretty obvious you had a hair transplant. Right. Now, I mean, Drabs is being way out there about it and making sure everybody knows he's done it. But, you know, the average patient, once the hair's shed, you know, you take the hair off, take the hat off, and it kind of grows in slowly. So the usual progression is somebody sees you at 3 months and goes, did you do something to your hair? And then at 6 months, it's, you did something, didn't you? And then at 12 months, it's, tell me what you did, because that looks fucking great.
Yeah. 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 All right. Tell Valdez and the audience, you don't have to go into all the details, but like the different type of procedures there are, because you just said hair plugs. That's one of the things I say. Like if someone calls it hair plugs, that actually is the one thing that makes me angry.
If I want to make Drab go on tilt, I say, hey, nice hair plug.
Because hair plugs has a negative connotation to me. Like people love that you say that phrase as a zing. But then you have type of procedures. Like you have FUE, FUT. And then hair plugs was something they did, I don't know, what, 20, 30 years ago?
Yeah. So believe it or not, there are still guys that do it, but that's embarrassing. They shouldn't be. So what hair plugs is basically they take a clump of hair from the back of your head, 20, 30, 40 hairs at once, take that clump of 40 hair follicles and move it to the front. So it grows as a clump, right? It's doll hair coming out of the front of your head. What they started doing 15, 20 years ago is FUE, which is basically instead of taking 30, 40 hairs out at once and doing that, you know, 50, 100 times over a procedure to get 4,000 hairs up front, you take one hair at a time or one follicle at a time and move that up front. So that's what we did for Drabs. We took 3,000 individual follicles from the back of his head, moved it up front. That's called FUE. The other way to do the procedure is FUT. With that, we remove a strip of hair from the back of your head, surgically remove it, just like it was a tumor or a mass. We take the strip out, we go under the microscope, and then under the microscope, we dissect that into individual hair follicles and then implant them as individual hair follicles.
So what would be the advantage for someone to get an FUT procedure over an FUE? And again, FUT is the one where they take the strip. They take the strip of skin from the back of your head, because nobody obviously wants a scar on the back of your head, but what would be the advantage of that?
Yeah, so the three benefits, it's a little bit less expensive. We can get a lot of hair. So if you're bowling ball bald and you want to do this in one procedure, we can potentially do four. My record is 5,218. I don't want anybody to think we can get you 5,218 grafts, but mm-hmm. we've done it, right? We can get a lot more hair with a strip than we can with FUE. And the third thing is with FUT, the strip surgery, you don't have to shave at all. We shave the strip, we remove the strip, and we close hair to hair. So if you're trying to hide this, if you don't want to shave your head, if you want to be back to work 2 weeks later and not have anybody go, dude, you shave your head, mm-hmm. FUT is going to be your better option. Mm-hmm. Of course, the negative is you're going to have a scar on the back of your head. Now, if you're never going to shave your head, who cares about the scar? Most women will choose FUT because they don't want to shave their head. Right. They're never going to shave their head. They don't care if they have a scar because it's going to be covered by hair anyways.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
So for me, like one of the he asked me how I like to wear my hair, if I had hair. And I actually was kind of unsure. And I said, I'm so accustomed to having somewhat of a buzz cut that the idea of still having like relatively short hair is appealing to me. So right off the bat, wasn't sure if I wanted FUT. That's something I might think about over here the next 6 months or so. And we might do that next year. But for me, I was like, let's start with FUE, and he agreed. Where we're just, you're taking them out individually. There's no scars on the back of my head, anything like that. So, but I'm also, I knew from the get go that I was probably a 2-transplant candidate, right? Because I was, as he calls it, having advanced hair loss.
Maybe, but I'll be honest. Looking at your head, so the non-surgical things we're doing, laser helmet, TED, PRP, we're having some progress. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, when we get to the second procedure, we may just use that to boost your density in the front.
Do you think, I don't know if this world exists, but Drab, you're documenting this, I think, very well.
Mm-hmm.
You might be a hair loss influencer. Do you think that could be on your resume?
I mean, I already am.
I know, but
are you talking about I started an Instagram and
there's
a few of those guys out though.
And then all of a sudden you're the big positive guy. Mm-hmm. Don't be ashamed of getting a transplant. Don't be ashamed of changing your baldness.
Look,
I think you found a niche market.
Well, one of the things I wanted to do from the get go. And I think I maybe said this on the Junkies. Yeah. Look, there is definitely, I got hooked up with the procedure, right?
Yes.
Any dummy would take that. It's a very, you know, it's a extensive process, right? But I also have to put my face out there and let everyone know that I had a hair transplant and like take the barbs or take, you know, let people judge me. Everyone's got an opinion. Even though, by the way, most people have been super kind about it.
Yeah, I wanted to... go back to that when you're talking about people like
I just had to put myself out there.
Have most of your family and friends been very encouraging about it and everything? Most of the mean people have been.
You know, it's actually the people that here's what's making me feel good. I already know that people that like my mom or you or whoever I see like around the office, they're going to say, oh, yeah, two thumbs up, looks good. But the commentary that like people on the internet are so mean, right?
Yeah.
99% of the comments are like, whoa, this looks amazing. I had no idea it would look this good this quickly, or way to go, Drab, proud of you. People are ruthless on the internet, on Twitter. For the most part, that's the real feedback. If the Twitter trolls are even impressed.
So the first time I called in, right, that was the conversation do you mind getting clubbed as the hair is growing? And my reaction was, I don't think that's going to happen. We do a transplant. It's going to look okay, right? It's going to look like you had a transplant for 2 weeks, but after 2 weeks, it's going to look good. The hairs are going to shed, and then it's going to grow in slowly, right? Most of my patients look good pretty quick.
Why is that? Is it because back in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s, all of the rugs and all of the plugs and painting your bald spot just looks so ridiculous, so everyone just thinks it's going to be ridiculous?
Yeah, I think there's some preconceived notions about what it's going to look like, but mm-hmm. I think most of my patients are happier with how it looks. There's also, again, it's 80, 90% of my patients want to keep it a secret. They don't want, you know, they don't want to go to work and have everybody looking at their head and go, you know, whispering, hey, Bill had a hair transplant. Psst, psst, psst.
Right.
So, you know, you can tell you had a hair transplant, right? I mean, oh,
for sure.
It's, you know, your head's still a little red, but if you don't care that people know you had a hair transplant, it looks good.
So
it looks great.
One of the things that like I kind of jumped into, there's a lot of good things about this and a lot of obviously bad things about it, is getting on online forums and learning about hair transplants, right? So this is, I would encourage you to do that, but you have to take everything you read with a grain of salt because there's a ton of misinformation out there.
So much misinformation.
Okay. But you can also over time kind of learn about the process a lot more. And in some ways that was beneficial. So like I'm on some numerous hair transplant ones on Reddit, right? And I see so many people freaking out like 2 days after they get a procedure thinking it failed, or 1 month after the procedure where it starts shedding. That's kind of where I learned like these people are crazy. Like there's a lot of crazy people out there that it must be a pain in the ass to deal with, right? They just don't understand. So you really have to listen to the consultation and understand the process and kind of accept the journey a little bit. But it also is good that you can kind of over time you'll be able to manage your expectations a little bit. I knew going in that I wasn't going to look like Fabio a year from now, right? Like it's just not really possible. I mean, It just, you have to manage expectations. Yes. So,
and I think any good doctor during the consultation would do that with you.
There are different, right? There are different degrees of it. And he might tell me I'm wrong here, but if you, since I had more advanced hair loss, right? I wasn't going to look like a male model with perfect hair coming out. But so, like some guys, like our personal trainer, Valdez, right? Yeah. Like he is concerned about his hair loss. I think I would kill for his hair, right? But he has a little receding on the sides.
Okay.
And that's something that he says, well, I got to go see Dr. Burka because this is killing me, right? He, after a transplant, would look amazing. So there are different degrees. Not everyone has to be super bald to get restoration, correct?
Yeah, absolutely not. So, yeah, I mean, if you're receding a little bit in the front, right, and I'm going to put 3,000 grafts into that area, that's going to go a lot farther than 3,000 grafts on Drab's head goes. Right,
right. So yes.
When I sit down with you at a council, I'm going to plug myself a little bit here. So, you know, there's a lot of misinformation out there, right? If you're reading in the Reddit forums, there been people on Reddit that have clubbed my hair transplants, and then, you know, patients are coming back at 3 months going, what'd you do to me? These people on the Reddit forums are telling me you messed up my hair transplant. And then at 6 months, they're totally happy and they're going back to Reddit and saying, you guys are crazy. My hair grew great. You know, what I encourage people, if you're thinking about getting a hair transplant, come see me. If you're reading on Reddit and you're hearing crazy things, just come to our website. There's blogs on there, maineadvancedhair.com, Maine spelled like a lion's mane, M-A-N-E. Just come sit down. I do an hour consult with you. This is not like Turkey. We're a boutique hair transplant center. You're going to get FaceTime with me. If you have a hair transplant with me, you're going to get my direct extension. You're going to get my email address. You have questions. You're worried about something. You're reading something online. You want clarification. I'll go through it with you and I'll give you the evidence for it. Cause there is a lot of stuff out there that just isn't true.
That's great. Cause this is it's a journey for people. They want an intimate relationship.
Let's have an honest discussion about Turkey. Okay. So that's one of my main things here, and it's the first thing that everyone says when they hear about transplants, or if they know one thing about hair restoration, they always go, "Oh, isn't that where people go to Turkey for?"
Yeah, Turkey's become synonymous with hair transplant, hair restoration.
All right, so we could talk about the concerns about Turkey, and it's not just Turkey. I mean, I've seen that they have these in all these other countries across the world, right? Like you can go to Mexico, you could go to Philippines, you know, I guess wherever you want. I mean, it is, there's bald people all over the world, but Turkey is the number one thing, right? So let's talk about an honest conversation, why people would go to Turkey and some of the major concerns about going to Turkey. And I just remember, and I said this on the Junkies, on the table there after I fainted, this is the honest thing. First thing I thought was, oh my God, thank God. I'm so glad I'm not in Turkey right now. And I'm 5 miles from home.
I think that was the first thing you said when you came back. The second thing was, this is the best candy I've ever had.
Yeah. I was.
Oh, yeah.
I was big on the sour
bag. You cured his baldness, but you gave him a sweet tooth.
Yeah. All right, Turkey. What's the reasons people go there and some of the major concerns you as a healthcare professional have about overseas operations?
Yeah. So, I mean, here the positives about Turkey, it's cheap, right? But the reality is you can get a cheap hair transplant even here in the DC area. There's one big name place. I won't say it, but there's one big name place here that's super cheap. And they all come to me to have their transplants redone after they're not done well the first time. You know, you do pay for what you're getting in this business. And you know, we're not the only ones that are good. There are other good hair transplant centers in the area. But I would encourage you to do your research and know that you're going someplace good. Turkey's going to be cheap. But honestly, once you've paid for travel costs and all the other things, it's not that much cheaper. I mean, you're going to save a few thousand dollars, but you're not saving $10,000-$20,000. So that's really the only redeeming quality I can see about going to Turkey. I've seen some good hair transplants from Turkey. It doesn't mean just because you're going to Turkey, it's going to be a hack job. I've also seen some terrible transplants from Turkey that then come back here. And it's a lot harder to fix a transplant than it is to just do it right the first
time. What's something that could go wrong in a transplant for someone if they were doing it in Turkey or they just went to a poor place here? Like, what are some things to look
out for? Yeah, so my understanding of the way Turkey works is, you've basically got a gymnasium of people getting haircuts.
I mean, this gives me nightmares thinking about this.
I know. It's literally just like a gangbang of hair transplants.
Really. Just a gymnasium of hair transplants lined up with curtains. And there's one doctor for, 75 people having hair transplants. And then there's
I was right.
And then there's basically high school kids doing your hair transplants. People with a high school degree, maybe a high school degree. You know, three people working on you doing your hair transplant. Doctors technically overseeing it, but what if there's three emergencies at once? Doctor can't be at three places at once.
So that's, I think, the fine line, right? Line there is that the doctor is, quote, oversees the procedure, right? But it doesn't say, like, how many people can be in there. He's not, like, when I went to see Dr. Burka was in the room. He had the tools. He was monitoring the whole thing. Felt safe the entire time. If you're in Turkey, you're gonna have relatively untrained professionals.
It's like a factory produced.
It would be like getting your nails done or something over here, right? Like not the most educated people doing your hair transplant. That to me is very scary. Once it's screwed up, like you've set yourself back, tougher to fix. Those hairs might already be gone. Like
the biggest thing I see from Turkey is they over harvest the donor area, right? So they take too much hair from the back and the sides, and that leaves that looking visibly thin, right? You can look at the back of Drab's head. It doesn't look like we've done anything. It looks
that
like.
I think that was actually the first comment Eric said to you, is that he said, let me look the back of your head where they took it from. He said, it didn't look like they did anything.
I got to say, the biggest thing I'm excited about is when EB gets excited, because he's usually so cynical.
I know, right?
He's giving you compliments, I'm like, all right, we got this one right.
Yeah, because he was the one we were worried about, but he's already he sees it, and EB will tell it like it is.
I will say, since Drab has had this procedure, he's been very, not judgmental, but he's kind of on the lookout for baldness.
he's feeling big man on campus. Look at all those bald guys sitting over there.
And then all of a sudden he's this hair expert. And he told me, he said that I am a candidate, a possible candidate for hair restoration. And I couldn't disagree with him more.
Well, okay, here's what I said. I said, you have to take your headphones off. I said you might be in the future or at some point a candidate for some sort of procedure. It's thinning on his mid scalp area.
No, see what I mean? Like, he's
the king bully. You need to know that he's the king bully. He thinks he was touched by God with his hair.
I mean, rub your hands through.
He is on his way for it's not going to be look like that when he's older.
Yeah, so a couple things. So first of
get
all,
get a look at the back. That back is where it's really.
So first of all, so this is not like a this is not a judgment, right? Like when I said on the air, and I think I called Cakes bowling ball bald, and everybody was like, oh, you club Cakes. I'm like, if you go to a doctor because you got a bump on your nose, and they're like, oh, you've got a wart, they're not calling you a wart face. No. They're just giving you a diagnosis, right? Yeah.
Shoot it straight, Doc.
So here's the diagnosis, right? You are receding a little bit in the front.
Your hand is shaky, Valdez.
and you're thinning a little on top.
Hold on, say that part again.
And you're thinning a little on the mid scalp on the crown. Now, here's the reality. If you don't care, you're not a candidate for anything, right? If you look in the mirror and you're like, my hair looks great, this is great. Your hair is 98% better. You're in the 98th percentile of patients I see.
You hear that,
right?
Drab?
The patients he sees, not
the patients I see.
It was patients he sees.
Yeah. But
I got a bird's nest on my head.
But if you came to me, what I'd say is, what's bothering you about your head? And we'd go through it, right? And can I make your hair better? Yeah, absolutely. I can make your hair better.
Well,
right?
In theory, if you were to make my hair better, what would we do?
So again, it really depends upon what you want, right? So every now and then I'll have a patient come into my office and I'll sit down and I'll look at their head and I'll spend the first 45 minutes of the consult talking about their crown, because their crown is wide open. And then after 45 minutes, they'll go, Doc, it's not my crown I care about. It's my hairline. Can we talk about my hairline? And I'll go, oh, wait a second. Then let's pivot and completely talk about something completely different. So from a hair restoration perspective, it's really about what's bothering you. if, and so for some guys, it's that crown and they can't stand that. And they go to the, they go to the barber and the barber shows them the back of their head and they lose their mind.
Mm-hmm.
Other guys, it's their hairline. Right. And for some guys it's both. Right. So it really is, you know, we're going to take a customized approach and I'm going to say, all right, what's bothering you? And that's what we're going to, because if it's not bothering you, I can't fix it. Now, from a, you just show me a picture of yourself and you say, what do I think, you know, where do I think I could improve your head? I'd bring your hairline down a little, fill in the recessed pockets on the side.
Yes.
And probably we'd end, we'd do some non-surgical stuff on crown and mid scalp to just boost the density there.
Do you know for years? Look at Drive. I've never seen you
bring
smile
the hairline down.
He's so happy right now.
I know. I've never seen him smile so big. Hey, don't smile too hard. The hair might fall out. For years, when I went to the barber, they told me I was special because I had two crowns, possibly a triple crown at the top of my head. And that was considered amazing and lucky in their culture.
I've never even, what does that even mean?
It's a pain in the ass from a transplant perspective.
I have two crowns. I have one here and like one here. I have two crowns where my hair, I have double hair growth.
There's the swirl pattern on the crown where the hair kind of swirls.
Yep.
He's got two of those instead of one swirl, he's got two swirls.
More places to bald.
No, extra hair. Okay. Extra hair growth.
Yeah, it's definitely not that.
Hey, were you honest when I went in there and you first looked at my hair and you said, wow, you had more hair than I thought?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was. Because you know, Cakes didn't take his hat off today. So I don't know. I don't know what's on his head. But yeah, you have your lateral humps come up. So on the sides.
Lateral humps.
Your lovely lady humps.
Yeah. And in the back. So, you know, when you start to recede, you know, you go back in the front, your crown opens up, then it starts to go back on the down on the sides and down in the back. Your sides come all the way up and your back comes all the way up. So that gives us a lot of donor area. It's also less that we have to fill in. So even, I mean, you're bald. There's no question. You know, you have really no hair on the top
bald.
Of your head.
Was bald.
Yeah. Now you got a full hair of luscious hair.
See what I mean?
I was bald.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. But better than, you know, if those lateral humps were down, you'd need a lot more hair.
All right. Well, I think this has been great. We've had a lot of fun here. Dr. Burke is going to come in a few times throughout the year. Mm-hmm. We'll do
get on-air checkups.
On-air checkups. Anytime that I have questions, we'll bring them in here. And but again, if you guys are thinking about this, I'd say book a consultation. It can't hurt. You will learn so much information. You'll learn about what's possible. And he'll just help you.
He'll be honest with you.
So maineadvancedhair.com, Maine like a lion, M-A-N-E, advancedhair.com, or just Google Dr. Burka. You'll find all the information you need. But make sure you tell him that you heard about him on the Junkies Bit Season. You love Drab's story. Do Junkies listeners get 10% off?
10% off.
Right, 10% off. Can't beat that. So check him out. And I know I've gotten so many messages from people. If you are messaging me, and you're telling me you're digging this and you're thinking about it, just make the consultation. It cannot hurt. All right. No pressure. He's not going to hold a gun to your head and say, you got to do this. Yeah. You will just appreciate the information. All right.
All right. Dr. Burka, thank you so much for coming in. Thank you for shooting it straight with me as well. And great job with Drab. I look forward to seeing his progress.
Yeah, I can't wait to see how this grows.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more on Bit Season. Stick around.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Welcome back to Bit Season episode 175. Before we get into the second half of this episode, we got to let everyone know to go to don'tsleepenergy.com right now to stock up on some energy shots and some Don't Sleep Energy drinks for the summertime, for their summertime workouts, maybe their summertime road trips. Get some today, don'tsleepenergy.com right now. And when you get there, use that promo code Biddies to save 10% on every order. You can also get Don't Sleep products from Amazon. And when you get there, throw some swag in your cart before checking out, because remember, Don't Sleep, it makes you great. It was nice talking with Dr. Burka today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a candidate. He kind of rocked my world.
You are. No, you look great, Valdez. Again, I think a lot of it goes back to most of it, or if not all of it, is how you feel about it yourself, right? If you feel that you look good, you like the way you look, then don't sweat it. But I do appreciate all you hairy bros out there that maybe aren't candidates for this. Sticking through it and listening about it, maybe learning about it yourself. I know this episode's probably not for everyone, especially our female listeners out there.
They're gonna start bookmarking some parts of that segment for their husband or significant other to listen to
for sure.
They're balding.
Even if you aren't, I think you probably learned a lot during that, and I appreciate Dr. Burka coming in, and we'll check in a few months later. He'll come back in and we'll have a checkup.
I liked seeing Drab's interaction with his doctor. It was kind of
funny. Was I professional Drab, or was I Matt Cahill?
you're kind of like you're kind of giddy.
That's my guy.
I know.
Everyone's funny. I've had to listen to the Junkies for 12 years or 13, however long it's been, 13 years, talk about their guy. You know, Ralph or whatever. You know.
Hey, what are you gonna do when Cake steals him from you? Right.
Hey, you know what they say.
You know what they say.
Yeah.
We are the gateway to the Junkies.
Yeah, I know. I think I am. But that's okay. I'll take it. In this scenario, I'll take it.
He's using you as a stepping stone to get to Cakes. Just like people use me, have me for the golf to go golf with Jason.
Mm-hmm.
That's
you understand. You understand it though. So
you're not going to feel slighted. You're not going to feel jilted.
No. I've gotten plenty out of this.
Hey, can someone please send me the meme of Dr. Burka walking with his wife or girlfriend and then looking back saying, hey, money, metal cakes, Dr. Burke, Drab.
Yeah, yeah. Blake Gibbon will work something up.
Please, 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 someone make me that Jeff.
Yeah.
Because that would be fun. Can't wait.
All right, let's get into a couple things here while we have time. I'd love to talk about Bickle. I'm officially, put me in the camp of officially concerned. I'm officially concerned about his brain functionality.
Oh, okay. Is this a serious discussion or?
Well, not really, not okay. really. But okay. I didn't think he could be any dumber, and he continues to surprise me. Now look, radio star. He knows what he's doing. Like, he's got a great life. His common sense, though, Valdez. And I'm going to say his critical thinking has fallen off a cliff. The DC Defenders segment on the show this week has me officially concerned. And you know I'm Eric Bickle's number one fan. I love the guy. So I feel like I can, if we can say this out of love. He wasn't doing a bit.
I know. That was the concerning part.
It wasn't even at one point when he first brought this up. If you don't know what we're talking about, go back and listen to Monday's show where Eric Bickle thought that the DC Defenders changed their name.
From the Commanders at one point.
He didn't even start that conversation, Valdez, with did you guys notice any botches during the game, right? Or did you guys hear about anything that was going on? He started that conversation with, did you guys hear what are they, a UFL team? They changed their name to Commanders? Like, it wasn't even it was a commentary from him. It was like something that already happened.
Yes.
It wasn't a question. And then we were like, what?
He spoke as if it was matter of fact. And I think that's where Eric gets himself in trouble so much.
Well, we also don't like it when he talks in questions.
I know. But we have to find a happy medium. But here's the problem. And Eric has a hard way of, I feel like our radar, we have a pretty good radar. Mm-hmm. Like, I get duped by AI sometimes, but I feel like our radar, whenever we are online, mm-hmm. is up. We have a good filter, right?
I feel like
Eric's filter for like what he comes across doesn't necessarily, isn't always filtered 100%.
This isn't a radio producer thing. This is just anybody living in this era, 2025. You know how to process misinformation quickly, right? Everyone can notice it. If you don't notice it, there's like a procedure that everyone goes through, a sequence of like, all right, let me check on that. Of course, yes. Why am I not hearing about that before? I hadn't heard that Diddy's having sex with his mom. That sounds weird. I'm not seeing that anywhere else. Right.
But yes.
So Eric's first, like, why isn't the radar going off of, I heard something that sounded weird. Let me, check in on that. Instead, like, there wasn't any curiosity. We talk about a lack of curiosity a lot. Where was the curiosity where he thought that they changed their name to Commanders, where he didn't double check that information?
Right.
Right. Or do a simple Google search.
Or text Grant, because you know Grant's watching or has some affiliation with it.
Yeah. As Mar says all the time, if you hear something, say something. Right. Where was that with Bickle?
This is what I don't understand too. So Eric self-admittedly always says my brain is mush. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. He says it all the time. That's his excuse for any kind of misinformation or being duped, right? My brain's mush. So if you know personally that, you know, like you're forgetting things,
you're having a hard time processing.
Like, shouldn't your radar constantly be up for what you're reading or consuming? Right.
Yeah.
He goes, oh my God, they're the DC Commanders. My brain's mush. Let me double check this and make sure this is right.
Here's what it has me concerned. I'm scared that we're entering like Peyton Manning's noodle arm era with Bickle. like a radio god, a legend, a guy that stirs the show, the back, you know, the, I don't know if he's the backbone of the Junkies, but
it's the straw that stirs the drink.
Really, that's no secret. Everybody kind of knows that about Eric with, with his excitement.
He brings it, the energy.
He brings energy to the show. That he's losing his fastball. And not even losing his fastball. Like, I'm actually concerned for his life, his quality of life after this. I don't know what's a bit. But to me, a sports radio host, first off, not even knowing if the DC Defenders were still around, massive red flag. Like, what's going on? How do you not know that? Everyone knows they're playing. Everyone who cares about sports knows they're playing. The sports host didn't. Couldn't tell the difference between the UFL, the XFL, and Arena League. Didn't know any of that difference. Thought that there was a graphic up for an hour. That said Commanders. Said the word Commanders on the air, on screen. So that he heard Kurt Menefee say the name Commanders many times. He was referring to them as the Commanders and not the Defenders. And there was the logo had him confused. He was confused by the C in the logo.
I think the hearing of the Commanders is the scariest part. But why wouldn't you?
Wouldn't anybody watching that, Matt, say, heard Kurt Menefee say Commanders, go, oh, what a goofball. He just called the Defenders the Commanders. This guy's botching all over the place.
Yeah, I know.
That would be the first thing I'm thinking. I would think, oh my God, they changed their name to Commanders.
I would type in DC Defenders Commanders or DC Defenders botch or check awful announcing or even, but this is what I would do is I would be playful with it. I'd say, oh my God, did I just hear them call them the Commanders for the XFL game? Maybe I just have Jaden on the brain too much. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. And see if anyone goes, I heard the same thing or
throw it out there.
Throw it out there. Figure out a way to do that.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I would have taken care of it long before that, where again, this is where it goes back to critical thinking. The first thing I would have thought of if they changed their name to Commanders is, well, that's not possible. Right, another football team in the same town can't have the name Commanders. That wouldn't happen in a billion universes. They wouldn't do that. Yeah. So I know that what I'm hearing is not right. But that was the first thing that they offered. Did you hear they changed their name to Commanders? What? What are you talking? We were all stunned. We didn't know. We were so confused with what he was saying because it didn't make any sense.
Didn't.
But it turns out he said exactly what we thought he said, and it was so perplexing. That he couldn't work his way through that his own, and I love him. I don't want to pile on him, but that was like to me, it was just Jordan on the Wizards. Actually, I enjoyed Jordan on the Wizards. I didn't enjoy that.
This is what's upsetting to me.
I'm just putting it on that one segment right now.
Yes.
Outside of that, I still love the guy. That segment to me officially. Concerned.
This is why you are raising concerns is because you're watching someone go senile.
Well, that's what I'm starting to think. I know. Is that happening?
Yeah, like that's a very touchy word. Mm-hmm. Is it senile? Is it senility?
But he's only 55. I know. You don't go senile at 55. I know. They act 75. They pretend like they're 75. They're not really 75.
There's a lot of sharp 55-year-olds.
They got at least another hopefully, fingers crossed. I mean, he could have early onset dementia. I mean, that's a possibility that does happen. I don't think he has that. He should have another 30 years of a sharp functioning brain. Right? You really don't go nubs until you're like,
well, then what's going on? Is he just not paying attention? Is that what it is?
I don't know.
Could you chalk it up to He doesn't really care about this, so he's not even really thinking about it. Then in the moment, he has something spark his brain on air to say it.
I know.
Before even double checking with us or anything like that.
I know, but Valdez, I don't really care. How do I put this lightly? I'm not. What's going on in California doesn't affect me, right?
Yeah.
But I know that Mexico hasn't invaded the United States, and now the Southern California is part of Mexico. Like that would be something like Eric would say on the air. Like, you know what I mean? Because I saw a sign that said, "Oh,
this always belonged to Mexico, or we're taking it back. You know, I have critical thinking to know kind of like something I'm not that interested in, to dip my toes in and know a little bit about a lot. Right.
Okay.
So he was just so oblivious about the whole thing. That's what was concerning. Also kind of wrecked me. He didn't know who the DC defenders were.
Maybe we need to start filtering what he says.
We do. It's called a dumb button. You hit it today. But I think who said something today that was inappropriate?
No. They said they
or put a caller.
No. There was a caller that we thought said something, but then they talked about a private conversation that they had
Eric's on there. The king of that. Yeah. Yes. Hey, yeah. You just told me something off the record. Let me say it on the air.
Yeah, you told me something this bigwig said to you. Let me relay it to you.
I think actually Eric said, you were told this in secret. You were told that in secret and then said what it was.
Yeah. you're right, is that we're treating him like he's your grandpa who can just say whatever he wants and he'll get a... But he's not. He's 55. He's not your grandpa that has a potty mouth or you know what I mean, or is hitting on the waitress.
It's wild to me. The other thing I want to touch on, Matt, on lighter note, is who's to blame for Dylan Flame's car breaking down and him being clueless in Delaware after his way home from the UFC. Was it UFC fight he was at?
Yeah, UFC. It was in,
who's to blame? Let's get right to it. Dylan Flame or his father, JP Flame, for Dylan not knowing how to take care of car basics?
I would say Dylan, but JP ricked me because, and this kind of went under the radar when he said, well, Dylan should know how to do all this stuff because he went to driver's ed.
that was clueless. That was
the wildest statement I ever heard in my life.
It wasn't shop class. It wasn't auto class, JP. It was learn how. It was like to learn the laws of the road.
Look, I'm not a parent, but
that was hands off parenting at its finest.
Do parents nowadays just think there's a class where their kids go to and you can avoid any type of parenting whatsoever?
JP has taken driver's ed. We all remember our driver's ed. I don't care if you're 90 years old. You remember your driver's ed class.
Yes.
You know what's in that class.
Right.
They certainly are not telling you how to change your oil in driver's ed
class. There's no demonstration to change a tire in driver's ed.
They're not telling you about the dipstick.
Yes, they're teaching you the safety on the road and how to drive a car, not how to maintain a car.
Hey,
so
by the way,
I was.
Are you still checking your dipstick? Is that still a thing? I haven't checked my dipstick in years, but that is because my car is digital now. Like that information comes to you on the dash when it's low.
Well, I have a dip. I know how to check it and everything, but I usually just go by my mileage. So I have the mileage.
But weren't you told by your dad that like every time you fill up your gas or every other time you need to pop the hood and check the oil?
He just told me every once in a while you check your oil. And then he always tells you that you have to check your dipstick after your car's been idle. You're like, because the oil will kind of bubble up and it'll give you a false reading.
So I hate to do this, Matt.
Okay.
But I think I'm more on the side of, and I say hate because it should be on one side or the other, but it really is like a 50-50 thing to me. Like every father should take pride and know it's their responsibility to teach their children some life basics, especially about manly things, right?
Yeah.
You got to know the basics, right? I'm sure my dad is uber frustrated with me that I'm not like the handyman that he is. But I know the basics. I should know the very basics, especially when it comes to cars. That's your responsibility as a father before you die, is to tell your teenage son how to take care of a car.
Do you ever watch the social media video of like the high school or middle school or JV football coach teaching his team how to change a tire?
No, I don't think so. But I know there's social media guys out there like you know, like the dad I never had or something like that, where guys on social media, like older guys, take you through like life basics and teach you everything you need to know. how to tie a tie. Okay. Things that dads do to teach their sons.
How. No, my dad taught me how to tie a tie.
Right. Like how you're some chivalry stuff when you take a woman out. Why you
open the door for her.
That kind of stuff. So that part JP failed at. To think that be hands off and think that the school driver's ed program, whatever driver's ed program you went to, was going to teach his son how to balance his tires or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
His tires.
You know what it screams of to me? It screams of like avoiding the sex talk with your kids because they do sex ed at like seventh grade.
Yeah.
There's some things
you got to be involved in.
Yes.
But there's also a joy, like you should take joy in that, right? Shouldn't you take as a man? I don't have a son, but I would think that I would be fired up for the days that I get to take what I learned from my dad and pass it down to him.
Well, don't all of the guys admittedly not know how to do stuff?
Yeah.
Like
changing tires.
Things, yeah. Right? JP knows that he has to change the oil on his car every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
But luckily they have car deals and they can take it to the dealership and I don't think they have to deal with it that
much. Here's what's actually more egregious with me. JP didn't notice that his son was driving around with his brights on.
Yeah.
How does JP not notice that when his son pulls into the driveway? Or when he sees, like, you know, his son start his car at night, or maybe they got two different cars going different directions, and you see him driving off with his brights on. What the first thing you would just note, like, that's so obvious.
It's also butt dangerous.
It's so dangerous. It's so dangerous. I mean, did Dylan Flame not notice that everyone's flashing them probably all the time? Of turn your lights off, idiot.
That's
right. How do you drive? I mean, how long has he been driving for a year? I think Dylan's 18, so I feel I can call him an idiot a little bit. He's not a kid anymore. Like he's a grown man. But how does he not know that? That's why it's 50% on him. It goes back to the Bickle thing. You got to have a curiosity. You can't just be lollygagging through life, not absorbing information. That oil thing shouldn't have bothered me as much as it did, but it just kind of bothered me as like, what's going on? Like, who's learning anything?
My dad
is anyone doing their job?
My dad showed me, and I took zero interest in it. I wish I knew how. Also, he would dump it in the woods. So that was but illegal.
What? Like toxic hazard?
No, we had like this. We had a big old by the side of our house. We have like this rubbish area.
You guys were big like dumpers.
We would dump the leaves, so we wouldn't have like leaves.
Trash.
So we wouldn't have like leaf service. Yeah. So like we would just go to the side of the house. Kind of a little bit away from the house. You would just dump it all there with all like the
household
trees.
Materials. Would you guys dump like doors, broken doors and things like that?
No. Okay. It would be like the big leaf pile.
Mm-hmm.
Just dump the oil after the oil change.
That's a show.
I know.
That's an awesome show. That's white trash, Valdez.
I know, especially because we are a 16th of a mile away from the bay. I mean,
what are you doing?
I'm completely responsible for the crab decline in the 90s.
Let me guess, your dad didn't want to pay the $5 to go into the dump to dump the oil or something?
Yeah. Also, there was a point in time where he used to burn the leaves. I mean, you know, the big hobo trash can, the big drum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, put the leaves in there. You could see it all the way from Glen Burnie.
Well, there is a point in the year where you're allowed to burn at some point in the fall. I don't know. That's a big tell of who's trashy or not, too.
Yeah, you know,
who's got a burn going on in their backyard the first day of burn season.
I'll never forget when you're not white trash until police have shown up at your house to have your dad put down the leaf fire.
Flames are too big.
Yeah.
Neighbors are getting concerned.
It's smogging up the community.
Yeah.
And then you're even more white trash when your dad tries to show the police officer his chief of investigations badge from the MVA. To get out of a ticket.
So how much of that do you put on Dylan and how much on JP? I hate saying 50-50,
I know.
But I'm going to say it 50-50.
JP's comment about the driver's ed really ricked me But then Dylan leaving the bright on. I mean,
how big of a donk can you be?
I mean, I've never seen a bigger donk off right now.
But has Dylan Flame ever ridden passenger like in his friend's car and didn't notice that like their lights weren't as bright as his and the whole road wasn't illuminated?
You're just aloof.
You're just a donk.
You're
right?
Just aloof. Yeah. Dylan seems like a very hard worker, but it just, I don't know. Like, if people are constantly, like, if you're a helicopter parent, right? Mm-hmm. You're constantly doing stuff for your kid. So if you're going through life and Dylan is having everything, like, done for him,
yeah,
then you really have no learning. I'm kind of torn. I lean towards John Taffer. John Taffer. All right.
Is Dylan still eating like chicken fingers and macaroni and cheese? And
well, if he does, that's another con against Dylan.
Yeah, that's a 50-50.
The donk scoreboard is back and forth right now.
It's a shootout.
It's like Hawaii versus Texas Tech in the like the early 2000s.
The donk off, yeah.
But you know how like John Taffer always blames the owner or manager for not having the bartender well trained.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, it does go back. He's under your roof.
Yes. Mm. And it's kind of your responsibility to do it.
Yeah, because you gotta be looking out for this thing.
You can't just expect every person to know something or have the wherewithal to do it.
Because isn't your first instinct as a parent is, my kid's a donk. I got to be watching their back, everything they do, like a lot of what they do. Double checking up on them, making sure they're doing things right, making sure they're doing their homework, making sure their oil is, you know, their oil's filled in their car, things that kids like forget about.
Right.
Yeah.
But remember also donk off against JP.
Mm-hmm.
So remember, JP always, I don't know, he thinks that, like there's some Medal of Honor, some badge.
Yeah, machismo? Are we into machismo?
No, it's not that. But if you remember, he always talks about like the school emailing him, right? About homework and assignments for Isabella. And he like takes glee in like deleting him without even reading him. Right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So JP's kind of a donk because he's like he has no idea kind of what's going on with Dylan. Does that make sense?
He's kind of like Bickle in that sense. They just have no idea what's going on in their kids. I also, part of me thinks that, like, I mean, we all know about JP's storytelling skills are not the best in a lot of minutiae.
Oh, you think Dylan's got that auto-tune off?
Yeah. No. I think a big part of that, what do you call something, like the ramp up?
The preamble.
Preamble to the oil thing. Was JP just wanting to brag that he won a rec league championship? I mean, how many times have we heard about the Isabella soccer team and how what a great coach Dylan sending me text message? Like, why was that part of the story? Like,
I know. I wanted to dive
in. He figured out a way to tell that story to make it seem like, oh, my kid made me proud and my kid disappointed me.
At the same time.
But the proud thing was all about how great JP is. Like what?
The tease went from, I'm going to tell you how great my weekend was to how awful it turned out to be.
Why was that part of the story? Like it should have been, JP gets right into the oil story.
Hold on. I'm going to tell you about how on Sunday my kid was in crisis.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was all my head. It was having a great weekend, dude. I mean, so many screenshots on Twitter bragging about like what a great they won the championship again. What a great coach he is. Maybe he is. Maybe he is.
You know, we have the Vince Lombardi of youth sports in here.
He gets butt sized for that.
I know he does. Yeah. I know.
All right. I'm sure that was a longer episode today, but I appreciate you guys sticking through the Dr. Hair. Jeez. Dr. Burka with the hair conversation. If you are not balding or you don't know anybody that's balding, but I'm sure most of us found that information useful.
It was fun.
Yeah. And more to come tomorrow on the Junkies on Friday.
We're getting used to some Wednesday bit seasons.
Oh, yeah. It's only Wednesday. A couple more days left on the Junkies. So we'll see you back tomorrow morning on the Junkies. All right, everybody?
See ya.
Take care.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.